So here's the story, as it is recorded in Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." Yeah. When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us your word this day. May it shine brightly in our minds and our hearts, that we may hear your word and live it by the power of your Son, the living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's been a conversation that's been going on in my family recently, and that is about a trip that we are hoping to take next year to celebrate my parents' 60th wedding anniversary that just happened in August, and my mother's 80th birthday that is today. It's not an easy, there's a few other decade birthdays and weird anniversaries and stuff mixed in there, but those are the two main events. It's not an easy thing to work out, as you can imagine. First of all, there are the schedules. Our daughter Chaney is still in college, so we have to work around her schedule of classes. Her cousin graduates this June, but we assume he will be working next year, but who knows where, doing what, or what vacation he will be allotted. So originally the plan had been we were going to try to get it in kind of end of the summer, but we realized that wasn't very logistically possible. So now we're looking at Christmas break, figuring that no matter where Jeff and JD are working, there'll be some kind of a few days off at least at Christmas time. But of course, by moving it to that time of year, my husband Steve and I complicate the mix because we can't leave before Christmas Day because we're rather busy on Christmas Eve. So the plan currently is that we will leave Christmas night. But then, of course, there's the whole question about where to go and what to do. So the first thought was we'd do a barge trip in France. Sounded good. And then that kind of went away, and my brother suggested a cruise down the Amazon. But that's when we were still thinking summer, and who wants to go down the Amazon in the summer? So then we were going to Fiji, and now it looks like we have settled on Lord Howe Island in Australia, which none of us had ever even heard of before this planning started. Leaving Los Angeles, LAX, around 11 p.m. on Christmas Day. It's been quite a project. My dad, who is coordinating the planning, is, I suspect, feeling more than a bit overwhelmed, which may have been how the wise men felt when they noticed that star and realized what it meant. They'd been going around, you know, just going through life with their usual routines, you know, watching the heavens studying the skies, doing the dishes, when a new star appears. The star invited them on a journey. But exactly where and when and how were left a bit vague. There were lots of reasons to ignore the star and stay put. The logistics were staggering. It would be a journey of years. Talk about calendar complications. And what if they had misread the heavens? That would be a long way to travel, only to discover that you forgot to convert from inches to metric, like the Mars probe of a number of years ago. They didn't have a map. They didn't have an exact location. What if the star disappeared as suddenly as it had appeared? Where would they be then? And yet they decided to go for it. They decided to follow a star. We don't know why they finally decided to take that risk. Perhaps they were spiritual thrill seekers. You know, the Dalai Lama yesterday, a Swami today, the Son of Man tomorrow. Or perhaps they were looking for an excuse to travel. They just yearned for the adventure. Kind of like a few years ago when I told my parents, you plan a trip, you pay for a trip, I'm there. I don't care where. They may have also had a deep sense, a yearning that needed to be fulfilled, that drew them to the star, that wouldn't let them rest until they got up and followed it. But whatever their motivation, they acted on it, and they set out. A fool's errand, if there ever was one. Ready to travel many a long and weary and dangerous mile with no better map than a star shining somewhere out there in the west. And it's this decision that we celebrate today as the Christmas season draws to a close. We celebrate that the light that came into our world shone for all people, not just the people of Judea, but even astrologers from the east. And that it still shines today for men and women like you and me. We celebrate the courage of those wise men who were willing to risk everything in order to find the Christ child. And we are reminded that their journey was not unique. People of faith are regularly called to face the risks, to set forth with directions no more tangible than a star, in hopes that in the end we will find what God is offering us, even if it is found in the most unexpected of places, like in a manger alongside a helpless baby. Frederick Buechner, a Presbyterian pastor and writer, likens the wise men's journey to another well-known journey. This one wasn't taken to find a child. Instead, it was taken by a child with three characters more outlandish than the wise men tagging along. And it is, of course, the story of the Wizard of Oz. He believes that Dorothy's journey beyond the rainbow can teach us much, especially about the journey that we are all invited to take, the one that calls us to follow a star to find a child in Bethlehem. So let's remember a little bit about that journey in Oz. A girl named Dorothy is caught up in the eye of a tornado and carried away, farmhouse and all, into the land of Oz. Oz is a strange and beautiful land, but Dorothy knows she must leave if she is ever to return to her life and her family back in Kansas. She is told that there is only one person who could help her figure out a way to return home, and that is the great and powerful Oz, Wizard of Oz. So she sets off to find him, following a yellow brick road, and along the way she is joined by three remarkable characters, all of whom have their own need and favor to ask of the wizard. The first person she meets is the Scarecrow, who wants a brain. The second is the Tin Woodsman, who yearns for a heart. And finally, they are joined by the Cowardly Lion, who seeks courage. In the tradition of all good fairy tales, much of their adventures are hair-raising, but they somehow manage to come through it all, yet not in the manner that they expect. For when faced with physical danger, it is the supposedly cowardly lion who leads the fight. When faced with a perplexing problem, it is the brainless scarecrow that figures out the solution. And it is that poor tin man who tries to pitch in but is often more of a hindrance than a help, since he is regularly so moved that he begins to cry, which causes him to rust in place, and they have to have the oil can handy at all times to get him unfrozen. The climax of the story, you remember, comes with their victorious return to Oz, where they then make the shattering discovery that the great wizard is not only not great, he's not even a wizard. So, and yet, Beekner wonders if that is really the case. Is he really as ineffectual as he appears? For he is able to point out to each of them that they already have what it is that they came to him to find. As Beekner puts it, what the helpless little man who is not, and yet really is a wizard, says to them is, in effect, that things like a brain, a heart, and courage are never had as gifts, but are always earned. The circumstances draw out and develop gifts they already possessed. This year, what is it that you desire? And what do you think God desires for you? Whatever it is, the seeds of it are likely already lying dormant in your heart and your soul, waiting for light and rain and sun to nurture and bring it to life. The star is shining, inviting you forward into deeper and more daring life of faith, if only you are willing to take the risk of the journey. I'd invite the ushers to come forward at this point. So Carrie and Topher. They're going to take these baskets that I have, and they're going to be passing them back and forth. And in the baskets, no, come this way, to me. Come to me. And when the basket comes by you, you just reach in, and it's a basket of stars, and you pull a star out. And on the star, go ahead, you can start. And on each star is written a word. My star says compassion. Your star might say strength or perseverance, laughter, harmony, tolerance, wisdom, healing. This star and the word on it are offered to you as a gift from God. You are invited to take this star home with you and then to spend the coming year living with this word. Carry it with you as you journey through the next 12 months. You could carry it literally with you. You can put it in a wallet or whatever. You can place it someplace that you'll see it. But ponder the significance the word may have for you. How may God be speaking to you through it? In what direction does it lead you? What is it calling forth from you? What is it offering you? It may be clear right away why God is offering you the gift that you receive, or it may seem like it's coming completely out of the blue. One year, a pastor who did this with her congregation, who was about to go on sabbatical, so she was going to have 3 months off from work, got the word time. Well, obviously, we know what God was going to do with that. That made total sense. But another year, she pulled out the word faith. Her congregation thought that was pretty funny. Their pastor was receiving the gift of faith. Several people joked, oh, I guess you don't really need that gift, huh? Or, I'm the one who could use the faith, not you, pastor. But as it turned out, it was a year to try a minister's soul. Tragic death was followed by heartbreaking crisis, as the congregation was challenged by a series of devastating losses, the pastor had to care for people's broken hearts and shattered hopes, even as she felt her own faith being put through a wringer. Her star gift of the word faith offered to her a context in which to reflect how could she receive the gift of faith when she needed it most. Faith, she relearned that year, always comes as a gift, but it is something to hang on to at all times, but especially in times of trouble, and it's not ever to be taken for granted. Thanks, you guys. I did, thanks. Like any gift, your star gift may be received with joy or discarded and forgotten. The choice is yours. But if you're willing to give it a try, to receive and reflect on your gift, who knows how God might speak through this one simple word? Who knows what new idea might evolve? What treasured wisdom might surface? What strength or talent or opportunity might be drawn out of you? For like the wise men and like Dorothy and company, we are on a journey to find that which will complete our lives and make us fully human. But unlike the wise men, we wanted to do it the same way as the characters of Oz wanted it. We just want it to simply happen to us one day by some sort of wizardry. When the truth is that the wise men knew, the characters of Oz learned, and that we must remember is that to discover the deepest yearnings of our heart, to find Christ and experience hope and healing, we must be willing to move, to leave behind what is comfortable and familiar, to risk the unknown. For simply arriving at a manger in Bethlehem is not the goal. The child went on to grow up to become a man. The wise men returned home changed. During Advent and Christmas, we're called to come and see, but now the season is ending, and now so we must move on. So as we journey through this coming year, may the light of a star guide our steps. May the word of God speak to our souls. May we receive gifts through the Holy Spirit. And may we find our lives shaped and reshaped by the presence of God with us. God with us in our darkness and our light. God with us in our certainty and in our doubt. God with us today and God with us tomorrow. Thanks be to God. Amen.